Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mawlana Suleyman Cancı rahmetullahi aleyh was one of the special khadims of Hazreti Cemal İnamul Hasan Sab rahmetullahi aleyh. Generally, his work is to be one, to make khidmat of Hazreti Cemal rahmetullahi aleyh, and the second, to get the majma together after the Isha program, or at the Isha program, to get the majma together until Hazreti Rahmatullah Ali would come and read from the Hayatul Sahaba. So after Isha, he would have some standard announcements to make. One announcement used to be, Iman ki aur Saman ki ifad karo. And in the same pattern, he would say, "Joote ki, chappal ki, handbag ki, attache ki." Same. From the time I know, same tartib, that you must, your own personal stuff, you take care of it. And this is a golden advice, whether you are at home, you are in a journey, whether you are at the airport, at the station, wherever, you can't become over trusting on any person that you're not very well acquainted with. Just go and trust anybody and give anything to anybody, and then he is not as reliable as you had expected, then you're in problems. You expected him to do it, or you didn't have that level of acquaintance with that person, and then after that, you are landed in problems. You have problems afterwards eventually. So you be careful about your own belongings. Wherever you are, where you're placing them, how you're placing them, in whose hands are they, so you're careful of your stuff, then you don't have regrets. Apart from you not having regrets, then you don't blame anybody, you don't accuse anybody. And if you're not careful of your stuff, then no amount of wealth is sufficient for you. Number two, you begin to pick up a fight with everybody, that no, you did this, and he did this, and he did this. But where it stemmed from the fact that you're not careful of your possession. Apne saman or iman. Second thing he says about iman, you look after your iman. For the iman, he would say that you practice the sunnah as far as you can. You practice the sunnah, and after the farz namaz, make dua also that Allah will keep you on the sunnah and take you with the sunnah. He keeps you alive on the sunnah, and he takes you from this world practicing the sunnah. It mustn't be that you are not living the sunnah and you want to die the sunnah, and it mustn't be that you are practicing the sunnah and you die not on the sunnah. So you must live on the sunnah and you must die on the sunnah. So that is the dua that you need to make every after every farz namaz, with making shukr for iman. And Allah Ta'ala has given you the iman, to make shukr for that, number one, and then make the dua that Allah keeps you on the sunnah and lets you die in the sunnah as well. What a great dua. I think it's a very, very magnificent dua. You can't think of something beyond. It's so well thought of, so well thought of. You're making shukr first for the iman, and making shukr is a security plan. You know, for whatever we do, we want a security plan. So making shukr is a security plan. Not only security plan, but it's a plan of increase. So it's a security plan and a plan of an increase. And you made dua that Allah Ta'ala should let you live on the sunnah and let you die on the sunnah. So that is the second announcement that he used to make. The third announcement he used to make, he would say, Bari Hazrat Ji, and I assume he referred to Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you farmaya karte the. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah used to say that yahan par aaye hue istimai kamon mein shareek na hona, person who comes here and he doesn't join in the collective programs, apne aap ko yahan par aaye hue na samjhe, then don't count yourself as the one that has come here. You've come here for a certain purpose, right? So you must be focused. You want to get something out of the whole thing, whether it's now it's etikaf, whether it's the markaz, where you're going for a dini program, be focused. I came for a certain work, and I need to ensure that I'm focused on the work that I came for. who's doing and who's clean for what and whatever else, that's not my business, it's not my problem. Yes, my problem is I come for some work. I must remain focused to my work. What they ask me to do, am I focused on that or am I getting distracted onto something else that doesn't concern me? So let me be focused, whether it's a discussion, whether it's an invitation, all the other things, leave it out now. It came for just for a few days. So for the few days, try and maximum that I can get for that few days. Let me try it, see how I can get it together. As it is, we give a few days. Right? In the few days also, then we lose out. A few days also, then we don't use it properly, don't maximize, don't think how to secure this few days. Sometimes it happens that a person is giving a little bit of time, but he makes so much. He makes so much in that few days. One person came to a khanqa. So he's there for a week or so. And in that week, the sheikh gave him ijazat everything and sent him away. Now the rest of the people of the khanqa, they are being envious. We've been here for zamanas, for days on end. And this man just came in for a week or so, and he's got that chitti and he went away. Kaisa hua? Maybe the sheikh is not making so much of dua and tawajjuh for us as he had made for this person here. That man just came in a week or 2 weeks and he caught it and he's gone. So sometimes the things that you discuss and you talk about, and, you know, the walls have got ears as well. So the somehow the other the word gets to the sheikh, this is what is being discussed, see. So it reached the ears of the sheikh, this is what they are discussing. Now sometimes it is important for the sheikh to discuss these issues so as to clear the minds of the individuals. Clear the air now. They got unnecessary, they got doubts and suspicion. And they may be thinking a lot of things. So it is time that we clear the air, we clear this people's minds. What is the reality? They know what it is. So they know how to think, how to reason after that. So the sheikh told them, all right, go into the bush and fetch, see this tree that is fresh and green. Just break the branches and bring it. So they did as the sheikh told. So now set it alight. Now they're setting it alight, it's fresh and green, and it's not just taking on, not catching on. Not catching on at all. So in spite of them trying and persuading, but it's not working. Then the sheikh told them, all right, see that this other tree here is already dead now. It's totally dried. You can see for the last 2-3 years, it's totally dry, dry, dry. Break the branches and bring it here. And then he asked them to set it alight. They set it alight and in 2 twos, I think, just caught on. In no time, he just caught on. The whole thing was just ablaze. So the sheikh explained, you see, this person here that came in, he was like this dry branches. He dried all the urges and temptation of nafs within him. He dried it out. So the temptation of nafs wasn't there in him any longer. And in the aspects of nafs, there's two dimensions, right? One is the zahiri sins that are apparent, right? Like we know namaz, roza, ghibat, all that we know of, right? Those gunas that are apparent. So it's not difficult to make out whether a person is in guna or not. That's in the apparent sins that are clear, right? Because there are kitabs written, so many kitabs, bayans, everything is on the apparent. So it's unlikely that you will get confused in the things that are apparent. Obvious, apparent, clear commands and obligations, you won't get confused. But yes, the fear is this, that you may get caught up in something that is discreet and not apparent. Right? You may not consider it to be a sin, and whereas there may be a very discreet aspect of ostentation or pride within you, right? Like for example, a person finds some enjoyment in some ibadat, right? Now, that enjoyment doesn't have to be a divine enjoyment. It may be an enjoyment of nafs. Right? It doesn't have to be divine. It doesn't have to be from Allah Ta'ala. It can be enjoyment that he's getting, and that enjoyment is from nafs. How it works, say for example, there's two obligations. One is zakat, one is namaz. Right? So in discharging zakat, charitable works, whether it is zakat or other charitable works with his family, friends, etc., to be kind, and there he doesn't find the pleasure, he doesn't find happiness in discharging that obligation. But in performing lengthy rakats of namaz, he finds a lot of pleasure and enjoyment. Right? Now, the reasons could be that zakat, nobody knows about it, because it's going to be done quietly, giving a person 1,000 dirhams, 2,000 dirhams, nobody knows about it. Right? When nobody knows about it, so he doesn't find the type of enjoyment. But that namaz that he's performing publicly, openly, then that ibadat is being done is in front of everybody. Everybody is seeing this mania, and this is the length of the namaz that he's doing, right? Must be a very pious person. So it's in the public eye. And the first ibadat is not in the public eye. This is in the public eye. When it's in the public eye, then you're finding a lot of enjoyment in that. Like you see our students, when they prepare for the jalsa, right? For the jalsa now, they're very well prepared, and they find a lot of enjoyment in giving the talk at the time of the jalsa. So now it's questionable that enjoyment is on account of what? For example, at the rehearsal, he didn't find the enjoyment, right? But at the public forum, when he gave the talk, then he found a lot of enjoyment. So now it's questionable, why did you get an enjoyment at a public forum and you didn't get that level of enjoyment at the rehearsal? Because there also there were some people who started, or someone checking up on you. You didn't find a pleasure, you didn't find satisfaction. But the public forum is, hundreds and thousands of people around here are listening to me, someone is taping me, they'll tape me and they'll preserve me in the tapes, etc., right? So you began to get some type of pleasure, some type of enjoyment. So that becomes questionable. So that's what our Buzurganuddin say, that in these gunas that are discreet, that's where you're going to go wrong. Those gunas that are obvious and clear, perhaps you don't go wrong there because there is enough information about that. But these gunas that are a little bit discreet, nobody knows about it, someone praised you now, right? So you got a lot of enjoyment out of the praise. Now, whereas you know what you are, what's your reality, you know, right? In your quiet times, what you are doing, right? What type of imaginations and fantasies are passing your mind, and you're entertaining all those fantasies, you know about yourself, right? But then someone jhoot mood and he just praised you a little bit, you went above the ceiling, you knocked the roof above. So bloated you became, right? A little bit he praised you. So two, three words of praise and you forget what you were. So your real self you forget. And this, what they are talking about, it may be just be speculation and doubt. Or it may be flattering, right? Either speculation or doubt or flattery, right? They got you for a Jummah talk, right? So they say, what a beautiful talk, you know? So in the meanwhile, they're flattering you. The intention is to bribe you that they can get you for the future as well, see? But if they don't give you a comment, now, what are those dry talks, right? You are not eager to give a talk in the future, so they gave you a little bit of a bribery to secure their future. That whenever they need you, they can call you. You on call. You see, now you didn't realize that you took it. You gave such a big, beautiful talk, and see what people how impressed they are, how impressed they are about my talk. Must be from Allah Pak, you know. So, all the things to support your nafs. See, this discrete things, you won't find any kitab about it. But it is the tricks of the nafs. The tricks of the nafs. And that is where you have to be even more careful. The trick of the nafs you're not aware of, I think it just backslides you, it drops you off. You slip, the way you slip that you can't even get up at times. So this is the thing that you have to work on. This is the thing you have to be vigilant. This is the thing you have to be very, very careful about. This discreet tricks and treachery of the nafs. You don't even know where it's getting you. Sometimes you get caught in that. Sometimes you get caught in some spiritual experience. You see something. Sometimes you awake and you're seeing it, right? Noor or something. And then you go after these things there. So you have to keep yourself in check all the time. And remind yourself, but I'm not a servant of all this, slave of all these experiences. I'm Allah's slave. If I'm going after this thing here, then I left one makhluk and I jumped on to another makhluk. This was also a makhluk, right? The spiritual experience. And this is also a makhluk. So what have I got? I need to get يَبْتَهُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانَ. I need to get His pleasure, not these things here. They came, alhamdulillah, it's a little bit of a motivation, so it's alright. But I don't have to get too caught up with this, right? In the plane one day, for example, in place of giving you plain juice now, they gave you special, freshly squeezed juice one day they gave you. So you can't get too overwhelmed with that. You can't say that. You can't get overwhelmed. The main idea is they must transport you safely to your destination. This thing is, by the way, alright, alhamdulillah, jazakallah for all that. But see to that you take me safely. So all these things that will come on the way, and you can't put your mind to it, you can't put your heart to it, you can't get caught into these things here. You don't know whether it's a trick of shaitan, you don't know if it's a trial, you don't know whether you will get caught into it and leave the real objectives. There's a bigger object, there's a more real objective, and you forgot that you got caught into this thing here. You're traveling to Mecca for Hajj or for Umrah, right? And you're going via Dubai. And then in Dubai you got lost then. Eh? You lost the purpose then. You defeated the purpose. You got a visa, temporary visa to go there. Then you went to the malls or whatever else. You went and got caught into it. Now you're not leaving Dubai. In the meanwhile, the Hajj is gone. So you defeated the whole purpose. You see? So that was just for the way, just to entertain you for the way. It wasn't your goal. But you got soaked into it and you left your goal. You lost out. You lost out big way. The whole Hajj you lost out, see. So these trials will come on the way. All this, someone will praise you, someone will talk good of you. Your nafs will be bloated, you know, a lot of things discreet or open. And your nafs will feel too good of itself. At all times you will check it now. You check it, hey, where it's taking, where it's leading me to. Someone is giving me an applaud, someone is giving me a praise, someone is talking good about me, you know, someone is giving me a very warm reception. So it's happening all the time, and I don't want to get lost. I don't want to get lost. I can't get into this and lose myself, lose track of myself. So this tricks and this treachery of the nafs, you have to be vigilant all the time. Hazrat Ji Ramadan's one standard statement used to be, Bharosa nahi is nafs ammara ka. You can't rely on this nafs. Farishta bhi ye ho jaye, usse badguma rehna. Even it becomes identical to an angel, then too you need to be, you have to keep it in suspect. Even though it's like an angel, qualities, behavior, ways, it's like an angel, but you have to be suspicious about it. You can't become complacent about the nafs. You became complacent, and one girl came to talk to you. So you said, now my nafs got no share in this thing here. Or the girl is phoning you, or she's mailing you, right? Or that voice is getting you, and she's talking a little bit in a casual way, a little bit of with a smirk and a little bit of a style she's talking. Within your heart, you're taking some feelings. You know it, Allah Pak knows it, that some feeling you're taking. And especially if it's a girl, young girl, and you're taking some feelings. Right? In the meanwhile, the easy way, I'm just telling in between, Jumla Mu'tar, is the easy way to just rid your nafs out of it, two ways, right? Think at that time, it's your auntie that's phoning you, your mother is talking to you. So you won't have those thoughts, right? And you can also think like this. Many a times a person may have a charm in the voice, right? But it may be a fat hag there. Fat hag, hey, she's got a voice only. But she's a hag. She's so fat and miserable she's looking. And she's phoning you. Hey, this thing has a headache again, she's phoning you again. So don't entertain the thought that because her voice is charming, so therefore she is pretty. So this is to keep your defense, right? Your defense, to keep you on your guard, to keep you on your check. Sometimes the work is such that they have to phone you in, they have to phone in, right? Your work is such, now what do you do? You have to work with people, and they're phoning all the time, or they're talking to you. What do you do? So you forget all the rest of the work, that I'm in a corporate environment, whatever, don't leave all that. Look at the nafs. My nafs, is it getting stimulated here? Is it getting worked up here? Is it getting incited or not? Getting spurred up or not? Look at that. So this is the third advice to give. That there's going to be two types of situations here. One is infiradi, one is istimai. So the purpose that you've come for, then you stay focused on that. So this person here, he got that khilafat and he's gone. He got the chitti and he went away. So he was very, very focused. He worked, he worked, he worked. And he dried the nafs all together. So there is no contamination of nafs in his work. In his zikr, tilawat, whatever he's doing, there's no contamination. When there's no contamination of nafs at all in his work, now, all he needed is a light. So I just set him a light and he's gone. He needed a light, the light of ma'rifat, the light of the nur of Allah Ta'ala. He needed that light, so I lit him up and he's gone. But you people are still soaked, are still green, you're still fresh. When you're green and fresh, I need to dry you up first. Get you dried out complete from all the temptations of nafs, the evil of nafs. I need to get you dried up. So I'm giving you this different type of disciplinary programs. Do this, do this, do this. Why are these programs given to you? To dry out the nafs. Inshallah, you will try also, and after you have dried out all that temptation of the nafs out of your system, then one day you will get the same, you'll get the same honor as this brother of yours again today. Right? So the istimai programs and infiradi programs. Whatever is being told to you, whatever is being given to you, then remain focused on that. Like I say, remind and conscientize ourselves that we came for a short period and we came to bargain for Jannah. Allah inna sil'atallahi ghaliya. It's an expensive bargain. It's not a small thing. Not a 2x2 shop here. It's not a mall or something. Not a business. This is an eternal business. You're doing a business eternal. So for that, you have to give your full self to it. Proper, right? So that was the third announcement Mulana Suleiman Janji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to make, right? The fourth announcement he used to make that was also very, very important, right? And that's related to the subject that was read today. Since the fourth announcement, I'll just give you a little bit of a prelude, right? He used to say, when a decent person walks into an orchard, right? Nice, lush, green orchard he walks, right? A decent person, respectable person. So what he looks for, he's got an izna'am, permission, a general permission to enjoy from whatever he wants. So he's an understanding person, a good person, and he knows the things that he must enjoy from. So he'll pluck one fruit, or he'll pluck a flower, or something else, and he'll enjoy himself. A decent, understanding person, so he knows what he must pluck and what he must enjoy, right? Because he's got a general permission to enjoy as he wants. He saw a lychee, so he plucked a lychee. He saw a mango, so he ate a mango. He saw something else, he plucked it and he ate it, right? But if it was a swine that was let into the orchard, it's not going to go for all that beauty. It's going to go, and it's going to go for all the filth. Where's the manure, where's the rubbish, where's the dirt? So it'll go for all the filth. So similarly, you'll come into the markaz or in a collective environment, so you'll find all types, right? Someone is behaving very well, he's spot on, he's focused, and he's concentrated on what he's supposed to be coming here for. And there are those that are half focused, and those that are not even focused at all, right? They're doing some things that are inappropriate, right? So now, that person who doesn't think right, can't see right, so he'll be watching, oh, this person is doing this, oh, this person is smoking here. And that person there, what he's doing is wasting his time, he's not making zikr, he's sleeping all the time. And that person there, yeah, whatever you see, he's just eating all the time. Here you go, he came to eat here, yeah? What he came for? Didn't see food at home, so he came to eat here. Yeah? Right? So now the next, this person here is watching at the weaknesses of the people that have come, right? So you need to understand which category you're falling into, that first category of the decent, respectable person, or of the category of the filthy animal, pig, right? So which category you're falling into? So you need to know, I came for a certain purpose, I came for certain work, I need to stick and be committed to my work, not to see what's going on, who's doing what, that's not my work. Right? Everybody came for reformation and correction, and someone is taking one step, and someone is taking two steps, someone is walking, someone is running, someone is galloping. And inshallah, Allah will look at everybody favorably. After all, I got mistakes also. And when I got mistakes, and I hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that Allah will forgive me and look at me with His bounty, He will look at them with His favor as well. Like He will look at me with bounty. Then inshallah, He will look at them with favor as well. After all, I don't have exclusive rights of His bounties. The bounties only will come to me. That was a Jewish concept. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. That was a Jewish and a Christian concept that they have got exclusive rights to Jannat. And we say, Nubai, it's left to the mercy of Allah. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. It is the mercy of Allah that enshrouds us, right? Even the fact that we are engaged in some work, it's not of our own doing. We in zikr, tilawat, namaz, or whatever other ibadah we engaged in, it's not of our own. It is His grace that we are seated here. Right? So unless and until Allah Pak doesn't shower me and enshroud me with His mercy from all sides, I'm also gone. So the fact that I'm involved in something that outwardly looks and conforms to His pleasure is not a guarantee that I am on. That is a sign that Allah Pak has blessed me. Now, this is just a sign. It's an alamat, right? It's not a guarantee. It's not a ticket now. It's not a license for Jannat. It's not a passport to Jannat. But it's a sign, inshallah, that Allah Pak is happy with me. So now, you have to then strive even further. Allah Pak, it's an alamat. It's an indication that I'm in your good books. So let it be, if it is, let it be such that I remain such until you show me into Jannat. Until you lead me into Jannah, let me remain like that. Life becomes so enjoyable when a person's mind is clear and pure. Right? Mind is clear and pure that when you're stepping out of your home, that as though you're walking into an orchard, you're seeing a plum, that you're seeing a peaches, you're seeing a mango, you're seeing a rose plant, you're seeing some other fragrant plant, you're seeing. So all around you, you're just feeling more and more well received, welcomed, enjoyable, happy, right? Wherever you're going, because you have got a clear mind. Mind is clear. Mind is not contaminated, adulterated with any filth. So wherever you're going with ease, enjoyment. So any person you're looking at, mashallah, this person here, I see him regularly in his namaz. And that person there, I see he comes to the masjid 5 minutes before the azan. Amen. What a wonderful thing he does. And this one here, I see, whenever I see him, he's reading Quran Sharif. So wherever you're going, whoever you're meeting up, you're looking at the good. And this person here, I see, I never see him getting involved in ghibat and all that. You never see him speaking ill about anybody. He's worried about himself, no ghibat, no panchat and all that, right? He's not involved in all this. This person here, I don't see him picking a fight with anybody. Although sometimes people provoke him and they run him down, whatever. But he never picks up a fight. People try to incite him, stir him up and spur him up. But he just remains calm and he does his work. He continues. What a pleasant person. So wherever you're going, you're seeing some fragrance, you're seeing some fruit, you're seeing something good. So that is if your mind is clear, your mind is pure and good. But on the contrary, if your mind is all filthy, right, then you say, oh, this person here, whenever I see him, he got nothing to do. He just wastes his time. He doesn't use his time correctly. This person here, well, I don't see him properly in the masjid. He's not punctual. He must miss one rakat, two rakats. Why doesn't he make his wuzu properly and come quickly to the masjid? And this person here, every day I see he misses out two rakats. This person here, I see he's wealthy. I think he's doing some backdoor business, you know. He's stealing and all that. Yeah. So you got evil thoughts of everybody, bad thoughts of everybody. As you come out of your house, then you're seeing a lion, you're seeing a tiger, you're seeing a wolf, you're seeing a pig, you're seeing a swine. So wherever you see going, you're coming out in misery. You're coming out with a bad mind, you're coming out with misery, with pain, with a gloomy mind, not a pure, clean mind. Right? So when your mind is filled of dirt, now you're going to be also living in misery, in gloom, and in pain. On the contrary, if you had a good mind, even if the person wasn't good, but you feel so relaxed, so good about everybody, right? And you think, hey, they're excelling so much. What am I doing? I am backward now. They excelled. They have gone so forward. And what am I doing? They have invested in the akhirat. They have invested in the right ways. What investments have I got? So you will start getting a little bit worried about yourself and you'll want to progress. And on this end, when you're going to be thinking, oh, he is a cheat, he's a robber, he steals, he's backbiting, he only knows how to eat, right? Then what's going to happen, you're going to feel good about yourself, feel very good about yourself, become complacent, and you won't want to progress afterwards. Right? You'll think you're better than the rest, right? A chip above others. You are someone, something above everybody else. So you're either involved in takabbur and pride, or you're involved in self-admiration. Both are killers. Both are destroyers. You are above everybody else. Everybody else is down. You became complacent. You began to admire yourself. You began to become proud. So you lost Allah Pak's help. You lost His acceptance. In your eyes, you are good. But are you good in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala? In your eyes, you worried about the presentation. How do I look amongst people? Many times you get this people dreaming, you know, that my teeth fell off, front teeth fell off. So one tabir, not the only tabir, but one tabir is the man is too concerned about his image, you know, because that front teeth gives your image. If your teeth are broken, now how you look? Like a Cape Townian, isn't it? So, the front teeth gives you your image. So, you saw the teeth broke, so as though you're too worried about your image or your reputation is gone. Your reputation has just broken. Right? Something wrong has happened to you or some member of your family. He's done something wrong and he brought some disgrace to your reputation. So, that's one of the tabis, one of the interpretations. But now, that doesn't mean that you must interpret every dream like that. Some people's minds are very, very active, right? They go with this type of thought, they won't sleep. And then they see the same thing. See, I got the same thing now. So it doesn't mean that it works for you. Sometimes it's just your imagination that got the better over you. So what an easy way to be enjoying life. Think good of people, especially of the believers. Worldly-wise, how you will enjoy, you'll be relaxed. You're not falling into other people's problems, fights, disputes. If someone started you or provoked you, you just forgot it, you continued. You thought to yourself, my life is too short. If I'm going to get caught into this controversy and whatever else, my time is going to get stolen, right? You know that incident we read of Yahya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, his banmir kitab, and one person is provoking him. And Murad didn't worry, he just continued. The whole essence of the story was, well, he calculated, he must have calculated the whole thing. And if you want to answer him, it's going to be a response and a counter-response. Response and a counter-response, right? And my 10, 20 minutes will be taken. In the 20 minutes I can make, la ilaha illallah, 100, 200 times I can make. So why must I lose out? Well, he wants to continue, he wants to lose out, that's his business. I mustn't lose out my akhirat. My Jannat, my Akhirat, I mustn't lose out. If he wants to do so, well, he's welcome to do what he wants to do. But why must I lose out? Getting into a controversy, fight, argument, debate, discussion, especially if it is not forthcoming with any good. There's no good that is forthcoming. Why must I get involved into it? Into that discussion, into... Sometimes we get into a discussion to impress upon the person that I also know something about it. Why must we get into all this? Impress, try and give, you must also contribute, right? Now, these are all type of fancy words that people that you have coined, but really there's nothing that comes out of it. If I don't talk, then they say I'm antisociable. Where you need to talk, you spoke. Where you don't need to talk, you remain silent, you save. But the moment you said something, now you have to be careful. You have to be very careful after you have said something. You remain silent, man sakata salima, right? You kept quiet, you safe. You didn't talk anything, you didn't say anything out of turn. So nobody has got a gripe against you, nobody's got a fight against you, nobody's got a quarrel against you. You remain safe. You reclused yourself, came out of it. Didn't get involved into a fight, you didn't get pulled into a fight, you didn't get instigated. They tried to provoke you, you didn't get provoked. You just moved, you did your work. Like I say nowadays, that in this day, you know, you have to do a defensive living. There is a thing like defensive driving, but I say you have to do defensive living. Because when you say defensive driving, what they refer to perhaps is that people are so unruly on the road, right? So you have to be thinking, you have to preempt what he's going to do, what he's going to do, and then look for a passage of safety to your destination. Right? If you want to say, I'll go by the book, you know, I'll only go by the book, right? And if there's going to be an accident, it's going to be his fault, right? But now you think to yourself, just try and analyze the facts, right? You're going by the book, but you're not being defensive. You're not protecting yourself. If there's an accident, either you're going to suffer, one of your passengers suffer, or your car is going to be badly damaged. Now, you can make the claim and all that, right? But it's going to take a process. So many days you're going to be out of a car, or you will be hurt, one of your passengers will be hurt. All around there's misery. If you're going to say, no, I'm just going to go by the book only, right? If he did it, he's responsible for the car or for the passenger or for who else, he's responsible. But if you went on a defensive route, you can see now this person is drunk or is not driving correctly, but you're on a defensive route. So you did something additional to avoid a problem or an accident. You did something additional. You know, you have been evasive, but you reached safely. You didn't hurt yourself. You didn't injure your passenger. You didn't damage your car. These are three things you want on the road. You don't want to damage your car. You don't want to get injured. You don't want to injure any of your passengers. So you have to do something additional to save yourself. And the reason is because people are so unruly, they're not careful of the road. So now the living is such that people are not careful of how they're living, how they're talking, what they're doing, what they aren't doing, how they're conducting, how they're socializing. You can see they're not careful. Right? If they invited you at a party, at a dawat or at a walima, then there's some music blasting out there. Or they're not careful about the intermingling, right? Or someone is screening and is holding everything, is videoing everything. Meanwhile, you came in with your wife. If they videoed you, they videoed your wife. And you imagine now she's eating and she got a burqa out. Say, hey, but this one is a smart one. Huh? Meanwhile, it's your wife. And they are admiring your wife, right? Or it may be you looking smart and the girls are admiring you, right? So all around, you're going to catch it this side, you're going to get caught it this side. So now you have to do some defensive living. How must I get, I'm going to go, and then how do I defend myself? Or you're going to go to the masjid, you're thinking now, defensive. I'm going to the masjid, but I'm going to be defensive. So I'll go, I'm not going to get caught into any talk here. Because one thing can lead to the other. I may say something, the other person may get hurt, or I may misquote something and someone may misquote me, or my time may just get dragged and pulled out. In the meanwhile, I got some other commitments to see to. Right? I just went to the masjid, met people, whoever I knew, salam briefly, and then I went and did my work. So I didn't lose out. I went, did my wuzu, or I had my wuzu, and I came in straight to the masjid. I didn't lose out in any way. Because I know I have to do defensive living. I went straight to the masjid, perhaps I could do quarter sipara more. Perhaps I could make some more zikr in the masjid. Perhaps I could complete some of my qaza umris, right? All this I could have done. But the moment I got caught in some conversation, some talk, something else additional, all these things I got lost out. Unless it was something very urgent, like, all right, just reminding the person, Shab Guzari, then I'll meet you here, or you will meet me here. Or just reminding him of the Gush. So this is important. You just told him nicely, pleasantly, respectfully. The also, remember, don't be sarcastic. In anything, don't be sarcastic. Maybe you're going to use sarcasm, you're going to hurt the person. If he's doing some good work also, he'll drop out. Why? Because you used sarcasm, right? Now, you know, he's got a program he has to go to. For example, he has to go to a wedding or something. So now, I use sarcasm, say, you know, but Shab Guzari today. Or tonight's Gush, you mustn't lose out, eh? But that's sarcasm, you're pushing the person down. He may just smile it off, but won't he feel some feelings in his heart? This person tried to put me down. Won't he feel like that? So, there's a lot of defensive living we have to live. How must I go in clear? I went for some sawab and for some good. Let me see that I've come out of the masjid with some good and sawab. I'm not involved in anything else. I'm driving to the masjid. I'm not involved in anything else. I'm not listening to the radio because I'm going to listen to the radio. Sometimes I'm listening to the news and it'll start off with music, right? That tone of the music is going to ring in my mind at the time of namaz. So I leave this thing. Let me put myself into a namaz mode. So make some zikr or something. So defensive living. Right till that time you came to the masjid, you left the masjid and went home, you've been defensive. So at least you can say, inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, what you have achieved, you have secured and you have managed to preserve. You haven't lost anything on the way. See, this concept of defensive living. So this is an age of defensive living. Your Islam, to protect and preserve your Islam, you have to be defensive. Allah Baktawfi Nasib Kareem.